Boy, what a day. What an absolute day. We have got the NCAA championship game tonight with the Zags and the Tar Heels. We've got the opening day for many teams in the bigs, including the Oakland A's, and we'll have that game for you right here on Sports 1140 KHDK, the home of the Oakland A's. So we've got all of that to talk about. Buddy Hield, the Western Conference Rookie of the Month for March. Congratulations to him. And a lot of news about the Vegas Raiders deal. We're going to have all of that. So here's the deal, Doug. We're going to have the Kings coach on, Dave Yeager. We're also going to talk with Ken Korak, the voice of the A's, to preview this A's team on opening night. And I understand we're going to have the mayor of Las Vegas on as well.
Man, a little bit of everything, Napes. And it's opening day. Got my M's hat on.
Yep.
No Yankees hat.
I had it on this morning. I told you that.
Oh, Grant. The Baby Bombers, as they're calling them now.
The what?
The Baby Bombers.
I can't wait till they play Seattle, man. Because you know you're never going to hear the end of it.
That's right, baby.
Because the one thing we know is your M's cannot beat the Yankees. One thing we do know.
Well, we don't know that this year.
No, we do.
No, we do not.
All right, let's talk, though, about some serious stuff.
Yeah.
And last year, we saw the San Francisco Giants fall apart because of their inability to close out one-run games in the ninth inning. And so gone is Jonathan Casillas. He's on the A's. Gone is Romo. Gone are the guys that they gave the ball to, and they all faltered, especially Casillas. He was terrible. Now you go out and get a free agent, Mark Melancon.
$60 million.
Who is very good. All right, his numbers do not lie. And, I don't get carried away on any one game in baseball unless it's in October, all right? But you want to talk about, you know, giving confidence to your teammates to kind of like put last year to bed, and it's opening day, and Madison Bumgarner, you know, hits two home runs, had that one bad inning where he gave up three runs and the two-run shot, and you do get the lead back in the top of the ninth, all right? And so you got Melancon coming in the bottom of the ninth, and, you know, you need him to get three outs, and not only does he not get three outs, they lose the game. Not only does he not protect the lead, they don't even get to the they lose the game.
Well, Grant, I want two things. I want one. I want you to break this down, but I also want to hear from Giants fans, because when I look at Melancon coming in, obviously he's been fantastic last year. Now he's coming over, and they're expecting him to do big things. But how much of this, Grant, is a mindset from this? And I say this because is it Gorky Hernandez? I thought that defensively he allowed a double to be a triple in the bottom of the sixth.
No question.
And he allowed a single to be a double in the bottom of the ninth. And if that defense is shored up, Grant, he gets that save. And now that whole mindset changes. Is that big? Because, you know, now it's kind of back to what we're talking about right now. See, just like last year. This is a da-da-da-da-da. Where if he comes in and gets that save, does it kind of start to change that in their minds?
Not yet. If it happens a couple more times. But listen, the best relievers in baseball, Mariano Rivera, you know, lost saves. I mean, you know, listen, the best in
rarely.
But my point is, it's built up a little bit more because it's opening day.
Okay.
He's your big prize free agent. All okay. Right. A guy that you put as your number one need, and he comes in and he's got the game in his hand, and he's got a chance to make a big statement on the very first day of the season, and it doesn't go that way. That's why I'm saying that.
Where do you put Bumgarner now? Is he number one, or do you still put Kershaw there? Because the reason I say that is because, Grant, 11 strikeouts, home runs.
He's number one in the postseason in my book.
Okay.
I would take him over Clayton Kershaw in the postseason any day of the week. I would take him over a lot of pitchers. I don't necessarily think
stuff-wise.
He's got great stuff. The difference between Madison Bumgarner, and he's a great pitcher, he blew a lot of leads in the second half of last year.
Okay.
And it was very uncharacteristic for him. Yesterday's sixth inning, very uncharacteristic for him when you look at his whole career. He's still one of the top pitchers in baseball. And, again, in the postseason, there's nobody else I'd rather give the ball to. And I really mean that. There's not one pitcher in baseball I'd rather give the ball to other than Madison Bumgarner. He pitched well yesterday. He didn't pitch great. He was rolling along until the sixth, and then he got hit, gave up the two-run shot. They came back. You know, he hit two home runs, which is a pitcher that's never happened before in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's their ace. And the problem is, when Madison Bumgarner is your best power hitter, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, that's not good.
Right.
The Giants' offense was anemic last year with the long ball. And, again, it's one game. I'm not blowing things out of proportion here. It just – I know Giants fans are kind of going, uh-oh, don't tell me we got the same thing going on in the bullpen this year.
Well, let's just say that narrative changes and the bullpen switches up and they figure that out and they shore that up. Hitting-wise, if they don't have the power, do you think the Giants management learns from last year and they go get what they need at the deadline?
Oh, yeah, they will.
Okay.
Yes, they will. They don't, you know, they don't want to give up the young prospects and they, so, but this year, you know, if they're right in the race, yes, they do. By the way, I think Melanson's going to be fine.
Yeah,
his last 4 years, his numbers don't lie. It's not like the guy came out onto the field and forgot how to pitch.
No.
All right. So I still think that he's going to be fine. He's a different type of a closer. He's not a strikeout guy necessarily. Let me rephrase that. He's not a power pitcher coming out of the bullpen. It's okay. You know, you can get an out throwing the ball underhand if you want. Just get the out.
Yeah, no
doubt. So I don't care if a guy's a power pitcher or not. It's just that a lot of times now you see closers come out in the ninth and they're throwing heat.
Yeah.
That's not his game.
Right. He'll get ground balls,
yes,
whatever. Yeah, as opposed to just, you know, coming in and just high heat every single time. It's going to be exciting, Grant.
Right.
This is my baptism to – all things baseball. I watch it, but this is it's pretty exciting, man. I'm excited.
All right, coming on at 3:30, Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the story today that was in the San Jose Mercury News. There was a one of the business leaders from Business Insider claimed that Las Vegas has made the worst stadium deal in the world, with its $750 million commitment in the public funding for the Raiders.
Really?
Yep. Economist Roger Noel, a Stanford economist, told the Business Insider it was, quote, the worst deal for a city he had ever seen. How about that?
Even though the city isn't actually paying the money, so does he qualify that?
He says about the $750 million, which is coming from an increase tax on hotel rooms.
Yep.
All right, which, by the way, is already in place and pays for things, among other things, transportation and schools. Quote, so if the new tax on hotel rooms directed to the stadium does drive room prices down, the money comes out of schools and buses. Now, I don't quite understand the reasoning there, but I'm not an economist, okay?
I got you.
I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
All right? There is, you know, not everyone is 100% on board about this $750 million. All right? But for this particular economist to come out and say, call it the worst stadium deal in the world,
mm-hmm,
that's some statement.
Yeah, and having the mayor on later, you know, to talk about this is going to be interesting. Because, Grant, when I think about that for a city, well, I'm thinking, oh, it's great because the people don't have to come out of their pocket. These are people who are coming in to visit Vegas, who the tax. So, yeah, for him to break it down and explain exactly how that is, that would be interesting because those are some powerful words.
All right, so if you want to comment on that, we can at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. I was also reading an excerpt from Tim Brown's interview. Tim Brown, the former great Hall of Famer from the Raiders.
Yep.
He's like you and I. He believes there's a distinct possibility that the Raiders are going to be playing 1 year in Oakland and then leaving.
Well, I think that he understands the dynamic probably even better than we do when you talk about locker room ownership and a lot of different things at the NFL level. And for him to say that, I mean, just Grant, you've been around professional sports your whole life. I've been around it pretty much my whole life. And that dynamic between the fans and ownership and the fans and the players, it's really interesting, but it's delicate at the same time. And for Davis to be doing the things that the Raiders are doing – at the same time, you've already said that you're leaving. It's a slap in the face, and it's a tough one to take. I can't personally see them staying past a year.
All right, another thing that really bothered me over the weekend And it bothers me because I think that the majority, not all, I think the majority of fans don't have an understanding of what it's like to be a player on a losing team at the end of a season. I spent a lot of time on Twitter after the Kings-Timberwolves game going back and forth with people who were upset that the Kings won the game. The Kings did not play in that game Kosta Koufos. They did not play Garrett Temple, all right, two of their real big veterans, and they didn't play Kosta Koufos, and then the most difficult matchup on the floor was Karl-Anthony Towns.
Right.
All right? Here's what fans do not understand, and I have said this for years and years and years. The Sacramento Kings have 15 players under contract. There's not one out of the 15 that gives a damn whether the Kings get the number one pick in the draft or they get the 60th pick in the draft. They don't care. It's not something they talk about.
Nope.
They don't care, and it is a non-issue to them. Dave Yeager, on a nightly basis, is resting a rotation of veteran players every single night. Koufos doesn't play. Temple doesn't play. The Kings go out and beat Minnesota, and everybody is like, what the hell are you doing? Memo to fans, and you know this better than I do. Coaches do not tell players to go out and lose, nor do they tell players, hey, you know what? We're going to put you in a position where we know you cannot succeed, and we're going to run this play for you. In other words, we're not putting George Papayannis at point guard, giving him the ball, and having come up against double-team pressure with 10 seconds left in a tied game. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
All right? So for the fans that are outraged, let me just point out this. Yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks, who are here tomorrow, were in Milwaukee. They won, and they are now 32-44. They have the same number of losses with New Orleans, and they only have one less loss than Minnesota. So where are the people that want to criticize the Dallas Mavericks because they went out and beat Milwaukee yesterday? What about the L.A. Lakers, who beat Memphis yesterday? And due to the win, instead of being tied with Phoenix in the loss column with 56 losses, they're now 22-55, one less loss than Phoenix. Now, you may say that's not a big deal. It could potentially be a huge deal because if the Lakers don't finish first, second, or third after the ping pong balls come out, they lose their pick to Philadelphia. So I don't understand the outrage from a fan base where a coach is resting some of his best players every single night on a rotating basis. I will tell you this, and you know this. You were with me. I went into the locker room after the game last night.
Yep.
And it was a vibrant, excited locker room.
Boy, was it.
I walked onto the plane. Players are to our left. Guys were excited.
Yes, they were.
They were genuinely, like, there were fist pumps going down the bus and everything. You know what? You're never going to take that away from players. And as Dave Yeager said, you know what? You can't learn how to win by losing.
You cannot. And you know what? Good luck to Dave Yeager walking into the locker room and trying to tell a team. You want to see a coach lose a locker room?
Yes.
Tell some players that they're going to lose. The competitive spirit and culture that's obviously being built
right.
is obviously first class because Minnesota, Grant, they didn't rest a soul.
That's correct.
And they have
that's correct.
Probably the best young nucleus
that's right.
out here in basketball in the team in the Kings go out and compete. Is it optimum? Would you like to make sure that you get the draft pick? Yes. But one thing that I personally, and I know Coach Yeager's not, is I'm not saying anything. You go out there and compete, you guys. And then whatever happens, that's what happens. And I have to tell you, to be down the way they were, to turn the ball over the way they were, and to come back, it just, I think, says something about the spirit and the culture of the team.
Grant. I don't think that the majority of fans, and nor this is not, I'm not slighting them. How would they know? They're never in a locker room. They don't travel with teams. They don't see what goes on behind the scenes. They're not there at practice every day at shoot around. They don't understand the grind. Yeah, I get the fact they're multimillionaires. I wish I could have a grind like that. But the point I'm trying to make is they're not robots. They're people, okay? I don't think a lot of the fans understand what culture means in a locker room, especially as small as basketball. You know, because you've been on the best and you've been on the worst in your career. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, when you talk about culture, let me tell you, I was on a team that lost 16, lost 15 in a row, lost 17 in a row, and it just gets to the point where guys don't care, the focus isn't there, but then you come to a different culture where there's winning and everything that goes around it is about winning. The conversations are about winning. The conversations are about the little things that help you improve. That's what culture is about. And all of those little things that you see Coach Yeager and his staff doing, that's why you're starting to see the product on the floor do what it does.
And it's not only the players that are happy, it's the coaches that you just mentioned that a lot of the fans don't even know their names that are out on the court 3 hours before every game. You know, Jason March and Larry Lewis and Brian Gates and Bob Thornton. Am I leaving anybody?
Elston Turner.
And E.T. and Tick, you know, Dwayne Tickner. Okay. These guys, this is their livelihood.
And they're proud of these kids.
They are really proud.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to someone earlier today. They said, you know, because we got into this debate.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I've been doing this for 29 years, and unfortunately, I've been around too many teams that quit at the end of the year without any pride, whether they take games off, whether they say they have an injury, and they mail it in. And that leaves a sickening taste in my mouth, because you're cheating the sport, you're cheating your profession, and you're cheating the people that come watch you play. You're cheating them. This is the first Sacramento Kings team in numerous years that I can remember towards the end of March and April that go out and play their butts off every single night, win or lose. You know, we're not on TV, Doug,
no,
sitting there criticizing someone for not running back on defense. We're not on TV criticizing someone because they don't look like they're into it. We're not criticizing this or that. You know how refreshing that is to me? And I know you too, but I've been doing this for a long time. I've been around a lot of bad teams. I love what I'm seeing every night. Kings aren't going to lose their pick. Everyone freaking relax. Oh, and by the way, you worried about what number you are? Go ask San Antonio how they feel about Kawhi Leonard. Was he a top 10 pick? Go ask the Golden State Warriors how they feel about Steph Curry, who fell into their lap. Go out and ask the Utah Jazz why they had a run of 18 straight playoff years because no one in the first 12 drafted Karl Malone. I can go on and on and on. Just play the game. Make a good decision. I mean, look at Scott Labissiere. He's taken 28th in a weak draft. Look at Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
I mean, can I stop now?
No, you can keep going. But you know what? One thing that I'm super excited about is I'm excited about the summer league and all the possibilities, the draft. Wherever you get, deal with what you got. Make a really good selection. Do all of your homework. Take that and galvanize it. And the galvanizing that I'm seeing, Grant, is the spirit and culture that allows you to go on the road into Minnesota, who's trying to win a ball game. They played all their guys. They played their top guys. And you still come back and beat him. I dig it.
Oh, and by the way, Buddy Hield led the team in scoring. Oh, by the way, he was named Western Conference Rookie of the Month today.
Good for him.
All right. 14 points, Doug, on 48% shooting, including 42% from three, 84% from the stripe. Oh, yeah, by the way, 4.1 rebounds, okay?
I like that number a lot.
All right. In 16 March appearances with 12 starts, the Western Conference Rookie of the Month plays for your Sacramento Kings, and his name is Buddy Hield.
Yeah, and you know, one area that we had talked about early, Grant, is his turnovers are coming way down.
Way down.
He's starting to get the pace and all the different things of the game. So congratulations to Buddy. Good work, my friend.
I just the narrative from fans that think it is so easy to go out and lose games, they really don't have an understanding.
Ain't nobody going out and lose no damn game, Grant. I'm telling you, I put the jersey on it. It's no
chance.
Right. When I go to the park, I just went when I came back the next morning, I took my son and we went and we played. I'm trying to win.
Hey, if somebody had come up to you and said
that,
you would have said, I'm not playing then.
I would say what I can't say on the air, but that's what it would
Again,
mean.
Again, fans, you have to put a team on the floor. And when your team is on the floor, I mean, do people not understand that the Kings are playing three rookies every single night? Okay, one that is considered a big time project in Jorgis Papayannis. Are they not aware of that? Are they not aware that they're playing, you know, and starting on a lot of games a player that was taken 28th in the draft in Scott Labissiere? I mean, come on now. You can't have it both ways.
Or
stop it already.
Or maybe the kids just have talent. And they're going out there because they make mistakes, but then they do a lot of good things. And that's where, when you were talking about the assistant coaches, from just being around them and talking to them a little bit, that you hear the pride in what they've done and what they're talking to them about, and that they're good listeners and they work hard and they go out there and try. Does it always work? No, it doesn't.
Langston Galloway has not played a lot. All right, Langston Galloway was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Langston Galloway is a guy that's trying to find a job in the NBA. He's not one of your top guys, maybe the top professional guy you want to be around. So Langston Galloway is playing very well on Saturday in Minnesota. What's Dave Joerger supposed to do? Say, oh, you know what? I need to take him out of the game because he's playing too well and he may help us win. Hey, fans, stop it already. Really, stop it on this nonsense.
And you got to know, let me tell you, fans, that when a guy like Langston comes in off the bench and he starts playing well, his teammates are so excited for him.
Because he's a consummate pro.
Dave Joerger would have a hard time walking back in the locker room if he just takes him out, because they know how hard he works and what he brings, and now he's getting a chance to shine. Let him shine, coach. Let him shine. It's 3:23, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
And for the folks that say, well, you know, winning now is bad, you know, in terms of a draft pick, you're right.
Yes.
But losing on purpose is worse, okay? And it would hurt the integrity of the sport and the game. Again, the coach of the Kings
ain't
is sitting down.
Ain't nobody losing on purpose, Grant.
What?
It's not happening. Ain't nobody losing on purpose. Hell with that.
But a lot of fans.
I understand.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from what the fans think.
They
don't get it. I mean, listen, I just mentioned two other teams yesterday that are going into the lottery, one that has to get one of the top three picks or they lose their pick, the Lakers. They went out and beat freaking Memphis.
Yeah.
You think Luke Walton is telling his guys in the fourth quarter, hey, pull it back, man. We can't win this game.
No.
Are you kidding me? Do you know what would happen to a coach in a locker room if you pulled back your guys?
That's what I'm telling you. You're talking about culture. You want to see a coach lose a locker room, do that one.
That's right.
Now, if he sits guys and he's playing guys and they're not playing well and things, that's just part of basketball.
Yes.
And normally you're playing against, at this level, teams that have one or two guys like Minnesota, who are Cat and Andrew Wiggins, who are just top-notch, but they obviously couldn't get it done.
And again, I don't want people to confuse me. Do I hope that the Kings lose every game the rest of the year? Yeah, I do, okay? But I'm not going to get upset if they play well and win. I can sure as hell tell you that. Would I, in a perfect world, like the Kings to end up with a record of 30-52? Yeah, I would, okay? I don't have any problem admitting that. But I'm not getting upset and criticizing the organization and the coach when they go out and play the way they did on Saturday night. That's called competition. That's why you play the game.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I want to see him go get after it. You're right. Would want to make sure that you solidify that draft pick by all means, yes. But go out and get after it.
Yep.
And wherever things shake
then
out,
that's the way it is.
Live with it.
All right, Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas, next. We hope you are having a great afternoon. We've been talking a lot about the Raiders and Las Vegas. It's an absolute pleasure to have with us the mayor of Las Vegas on, Carolyn Goodman. Mayor, my name is Grant Napier, along with Doug Christie. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great, and it's nice to speak with you again. How are things in Sacramento?
Beautiful, and it's really nice because we were able to keep our team, the Sacramento Kings. And so you know what, Mayor? We're very happy about that. The fans in Oakland, I can't speak for them, but as the mayor of the city of Las Vegas, to be able to grab and bring the National Football League to your city, can you put in the words what that's going to mean for your area?
Oh, talk about explosive. I mean, you know, there have been 18 years of Goodmans as mayors here, and we've been trying for so long, and now we got a doubleheader. We got Bill Foley's Vegas Golden Knights playing ice hockey here, and then this great coup of getting Oakland here. You know, Mark Davis's dad used to be a frequenter of Las Vegas, and especially the Riviera and the days before it was imploded. And so I know he's watching down from above, loves to come here, and our team, it's going to be great.
You know, Mayor, UNLV running Rebels back in the day when they won a national championship are probably the best example of I won't say professional, but to kind of gain a respect for what the Las Vegas fan base is about. What do you anticipate with hockey and football, the fan base being in Vegas?
Well, you know, we're such a diverse community because we've been this little tiny town that's grown up into this 2.1 million residency group with 43 million tourists. There's so many people that are already ice hockey fans from around the country and Canada. We have a good Canadian base here. But certainly Oakland, my goodness, I can't tell you. They stop me everywhere I go and screaming and yelling about they were from Oakland. In fact, one of the people in my office, and I have a small office staff, he's from Oakland. And so he's ecstatic as well. So I think it's just going to, certainly economically, it's going to be tremendous for us. But, you know, really for that fan base and the excitement and the pulling together, those days of the Run and Rebel with Tarkanian here, gosh, they were phenomenal. They were, and I, you know, I think of Gonzaga now with this game tonight, what that will do for their community. And we also have our city managers from South Carolina. And I was thinking when we were at the American Country Music Awards over the weekend, she's from South Carolina. Wouldn't it have been interesting if it had been South and North Carolina in the finals tonight?
Mayor Goodman from Las Vegas, nice enough to spend a couple of minutes with us. I want to just follow up on something you just talked about. And again, this is only one entity, but Business Insider came out today and claimed that Las Vegas made, quote, the worst stadium deal in the world. Are there any aspects of the $750 million commitment that make you even a little bit nervous?
Not one penny of it. You know, you have to spend money to make money. This is tourist dollars. So as we increase the tourist base coming in here, that's where those dollars will be. They'll be on a, you know, a tax, an increase. But what's very interesting, because I was on that initial tourist infrastructure committee that made a recommendation, that we are still very much in the middle when you look across popular communities and cities to visit as far as tax dollar expenditure. I mean, I know that Spanos was trying to get it on to move the Chargers, build a stadium in the heart of San Diego, but it would have increased the room tax to tourists to 17.5%. We're still at like 13, I think we're at 13.3 or 13.5 with this 750. And of course, you know, we have no personal income tax, no corporate tax, no estate tax here in Nevada. So this isn't coming out of the pocketbooks of anybody who lives here. What it's coming out of is an increased tourist base that's going to come because of these wonderful sports. And in the next decade, we're going to have more. We're going to have more professional sports here. And hopefully, you know, people, when you go to games, and I love sports, but you go somewhere to go to a game like we would go to San Diego because we had Charger tickets for 40 years, get down, spend the night, and come back. Well, here you come in here for 3-4 days at a clip, and you figure, you know, I deserve a rest. I've been working so hard all year, and I'm going to go see Oakland play my team because I'm from somewhere else. I'm from Denver. And I'm going to spend a few days in Las Vegas. And so those extra days are those extra tax dollars. So who's ever, you know, saying that, they really don't understand. But from the point of view of a team ownership, I think this is the hugest deal that's ever been lying out there as an offer. I don't see other cities doing it at this size.
With Carolyn Goodman, mayor of Las Vegas. Mayor, where are the options for to build the Coliseum, and have you decided, or are there just a couple out there?
Do you know the word shill?
Yeah. Okay.
You're a shill for me, I will tell you. We want it. We see it downtown in the heart of Las Vegas, which
okay.
happens in so many cities. The decision at this point, however, by the Raiders and everybody else involved, is out further out the strip. On the Interstate 15 creates a lot of problems. The delay makes it look like it won't be to 2020, 21, maybe even 22 because
wow.
it's an interstate, which means it has to go through environmental study. what the city can do in bringing it downtown, we, with any luck, and if the Raiders have all their pieces in order and all their design and move forward with the permitting and moving this along, there's a possibility we could save them money and have it by 2019 downtown. Plus, we're in a redevelopment area, which you know will automatically bring great tax benefit to developers.
Mayor, my roommate from college happens to be the general manager for the Golden Knights, and so I speak to him on a regular basis, and he told me that the interest in Vegas has been amazing for hockey, which, as you well know, and for the people that don't know, they're going to start play coming this fall.
Correct.
We were at the T-Mobile Arena in October for a preseason basketball game with the Kings and the Lakers, and it's a spectacular venue. But Las Vegas has gone from having no professional sports, for all intents and purposes, now to the National Hockey League, and in a few years, the National Football League. Now, you kind of touched on this a moment ago, but it's not too much too soon. You're not worried about, again, I hate to say not enough money in Vegas, that's silly, but there's enough people that the hockey team won't get hurt or the football team won't get hurt. You're not worried about that at all?
You know, I'm a big one about marketing. When you have something that's new in an area, it's about marketing it and pushing it well, and of course now with technology and social media. But Bill Foley's been an absolute gem of a promoter and took this really to the people early on to get on the Vegas Golden Knights. My sense is because we are an entertainment capital, people come here for vacation, rest, and fun. And so I don't see us just stopping with these two. My husband was all the time trying to work on David Stern, and since he moved on and passed the helm on to Adam Silver, the poor soul, I keep texting him and saying, you're next, when are you coming? And, of course, you probably know we've also been looking at soccer.
Yes.
We really want an MLS team here, and that we've been doing for 3 years. And chatter out there, people have called me and said, we are chatter out there from Major League Baseball. And, of course, you know we boast ourselves Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant. So, I mean, we are a city that loves to win, and we love excitement, and we're 24/7 town. And as you know, too, in a very small, close area to get in to the heart of our community, I mean, you're like 15 minutes out from 155,000 hotel rooms. So, but at the airport, I mean, our airport is an hour out of town. So it's just, it's a great time. It's an exciting time. And I do feel sorry for the fans that are up in Oakland, but we welcome them down here with open arms. They just have to plan a little bit longer time because we have so many five-star restaurants, so much fun, so many things to do. And whether they like in their off time to go golfing or Red Rock climbing or out on our lake or jumping off the stratosphere or running on the high roller, I mean, we've just got nonstop.
Sell it. Sell it, Mayor.
How about coming up big at the tables? Can we add that one on there, too?
You know, something that you mentioned, the tables, really makes a difference. The fact that gaming went around this country so rapidly in the past 15 years, that's made all the difference in the world because we used to be the pariah.
Yeah.
And but, of course, Nevada, that's had gaming for 60-some years and has all the pieces in place to monitor it, regulate it, watch it every moment. But the biggest help has been that gambling that's everywhere. Legal
Mayor,
gambling. I'm not talking about illegal.
No,
that's
I understand.
Ongoing
sure.
Forever.
Mayor, final thing. When did you first get a real great feeling that the National Football League was going to end up in Vegas? You know, can you give me a ballpark time frame when you said, "Hey, you know what? I got a good feeling that this is going to happen." When did that point occur for you?
Oh, wow. You know, I've always been an optimist. I mean, that's the way I was raised. And if a door closes, another will open for you. You just got to find it. I was a little nervous, I have to tell you. I mean, I believe in my husband. We've been married. It's going to be 55 years. And he was sure it was going to happen. And so I've been sure. It was just the question, when did the stars align? Got a little nervous when Sheldon Adelson pulled his money out. But I have to tell you, I saw that early on. I just listening to the conversation as people from the larger group, this grouping of Majestic and Adelson working and talking, I just got a sense there's got to be a different piece here, because I think Sheldon Adelson's going to pull out. So I had a little hiccup there when you asked for when was I sure. I just knew that if this didn't happen, and I wasn't in a position to be able to go after Alex Spanos, but, you know, this is his sound too. And he has done a lot of development here, huge complex on, Sahara and Maryland Parkway here, and I think he still has a residency here. I was going to go down and say to him, but I wasn't allowed to because we were in discussion with Oakland. But I was sure we'd get something. I just knew that we would. I don't think there was any one point of this is it. I just knew one day we would. If this didn't work out, we were just going to keep at it till we got it.
Mayor, we really appreciate you making time to come on the show. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, and best up there. Have a good time. We look forward to having you back down here.
We'll be there soon. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks.
All right, that's Mayor Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
It's 3:52, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale, hottubsofsacramento.com.
All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up at 4:05, we'll have Dave Yeager on. And again, as I was talking about earlier in the show, for the fans out there that you're going to criticize when the Kings play well and win, you know what? Don't waste your time. I mean, you really, and I mean this, I've already said, I would love it if the Kings end up 30-52 this year. All right, I'm being very open with you. But if the Kings end up winning because they played very well like they did the other night in Minnesota, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, what the hell are they doing? Jesus, you know, that's not the approach I take. And again, the dynamic in the locker room and the dynamic that the coach has and the responsibility to his players and, you know, and the other assistant coaches that work their butts off, you know, it's just, again, I pointed at the Lakers and the Mavericks yesterday. Yeah, why? How come they didn't lose? I'll tell you why they didn't lose. Because players are out there competing. And it doesn't matter whether you have your best five players on the floor or your bottom five players on the floor. They all are going out there to try to accomplish one thing. Play as well as they can and win.
Grant, the locker room, that whole area, it's a living, breathing thing. And there's a positivity and there's a lot of different things to it. And when the guys go out there and they play well, they feel good about themselves. When they see a guy like Langston Galloway play well and they see how hard he works, and then the coaching staff and what they put in, it's a lot of different things. And you're never in the mindset of, guys, we're walking out of this locker room right now and we're going to go lose. It just doesn't happen.
All right, again, if you want to come on the show and talk about that, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, I'm not even going to ask the question to Giants fans, but what I am going to say is, what a disappointing opening day in the way they lost, you know, with Bumgarner on the hill in a game in which he gets two home runs, and you go out and you get your big-time reliever, Mark Melancon, and he comes in and blows his first save of the year. So, again, I'm not blowing things out of proportion here. It's one out of 162. But, oh, boy, can you imagine just the difference that the narrative would have been? Oh, wow, hey, you know, no more Casilla. We've got now a legitimate closer and blah, 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 and blah, blah. Well, it didn't happen that way.
No, it did not, Grant. But I'm still going to go with Gorky Hernandez's defense. I'm going to say more maybe on the defensive side than the saving side, because I think you're right. I think Melancon's going to be okay. This isn't something that he rarely does. I don't think I have to look in my stats, but he doesn't blow them that often. So I would anticipate that the Giants would be all right there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, the runs were earned. It's not like they were unearned. He gave up two earned runs, and, You know, did someone get one extra base? Maybe. But the reality is he pitched two-thirds of an inning. All right?
So, Grant, 2016, he blew four saves out of 54 opportunities.
He's been the best relief pitcher. Excuse me. He's been the best closer in Major League Baseball over the last 4 years.
Right. And Grant,
it's not like he forgot how to pitch.
No. And Grant said this earlier. He's not the guy who's going to come in and he's going to throw 98, 99. He's going to get ground balls and those type of things. But he's going to save the game and get it done. But four out of 54 chances, I think you're going to live with that.
Yeah, and again, you know, he pitched two-thirds of an inning, gave up four hits, two earned. You know what? I mean, that's probably not going to happen the rest of the year for him. Not if you go by what he has done over the last several years. All right, when we come back, Dave Yeager to talk about the Kings. Also, Buddy Hield, the Western Conference Player of the Month. Congratulations to him as a rookie, the Rookie of the Month in the Western Conference. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, Sports 1140 KHTK.